Ghosts at a Watchman by Harper Lee is one of the most anticipated books in recent memory. It arrives on store shelves tomorrow to record pre-orders, intense curiosity, and Harry Potter-style enthusiasm. Since To Kill a Mockingbird's original publication in July of 1960, journalists have trekked to her hometown of Monroeville, Alabama, where Harper Lee, known to her friends as Nell, had lived for part of the year with her older sister, Alice, a practicing attorney. Lee remained fiercely private, becoming, in the words of one observer, a delicious mystery. In 2001, when the city of Chicago picked To Kill a Mockingbird for its citywide reading program, then Chicago Tribune reporter Maria Mills traveled to Monroeville to do a story, sure that she would not meet the elusive author. She had finished her research when, in an extraordinary and unprecedented move, she was welcomed into the Lee home. Her new book is The Mockingbird Next Door, Life with Harper Lee, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Maria Mills to the roundtable this morning. Thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
What brought you around to wanting to talk about your relationship with Harper Lee?
In terms of how I met them, I have the Chicago Library System to thank for that. I was a feature writer at the Chicago Tribune when the library system chose To Kill a Mockingbird for its first ever community read. And so I was sent on assignment to Monroeville, not expecting to meet either of the Lee sisters, Nell Harper Lee, as she's known there, or Alice Finchley, her sister, but did. And that ended up beginning a friendship that lasted for many years afterwards. Alice Lee died just in November of last year. And Nell Harper Lee, as you know, is living in Monroeville in an assisted living facility.
And as far as the nature of this friendship, there was the original story that you wanted to do, and then how did it evolve over time?
Well, they were so generous from the beginning. I mean, I was surprised the amount of help that they were willing to extend, first for the newspaper story, which ended up being a long profile with some sidebar stories that ran the following year. And then when I had known them for about 3 years at that point, they had invited me to return on visits and so on, and I had. But I'd known them about 3 years when I ended up renting the house next door to theirs in Monroeville with their blessing, and rented that house for 18 months until the spring of 2006. And that proximity was really a gift. I spent quite a bit of time with them, just kind of in the routines of their daily lives. Spent time as well with their friends and family in that area, and was fortunate to get to know them in the context of that daily life there.
Before you moved into the house, when you first went to Monroeville, you were working on the story, but you didn't think you would get to meet Harper Lee.
No, I didn't expect to meet Alice Lee either, who served as gatekeeper and handled many of her sister's affairs, knew they were private, but we decided that still might be interesting for readers in Chicago to learn more about that town and all the tourism that still went through based on To Kill a Mockingbird, and was surprised. I had written Alice Lee to let her know that I would be in town and why, but was utterly surprised when she opened the door. I did knock on their door near the end of our reporting visit, and she invited me in and to this rather modest one-story red brick house that they had shared in Monroeville for many years. Nell Harper Lee, of course, would go back and forth between Manhattan, where she had an apartment, and that home in Monroeville.
Was the nature of the conversation, because I would think, as a journalist, obviously you just want to, you know, question the hell out of her, right? I mean, there's a lot of information that you want to know. And yet it seemed more friendly.
Yeah, a friend of theirs said, my editor actually had asked me to ask him for his perspective on how this all came about, since it was unusual. And one of the things, he cited different reasons he thought it had happened, but one of the things he said was, you let the river flow, meaning that I think this was able to take a kind of its own time and follow its own course. And that made a difference. They certainly were both women who did things on their own terms.
That idea of doing things on their own terms, Harper Lee has been known to be elusive and even reclusive. I'm curious as to whether that's the impression that you got.
Well, for sure, the distinction that I could see early on to be made was between being somebody who stays out of the spotlight, but that being different than somebody who at the same time was quite gregarious many times and had active social life with her friends in Monroeville as well as in Manhattan. So I think private is different than, to me, reclusive conjures up the idea of someone more of a Boo Radley, as the character in her novel was called, more of someone who's kind of shut up indoors, not out in the world. And that certainly was not the case with her or with Alice.
You would go out for coffee at the McDonald's.
We drank dark oceans of coffee together over time, and many of them at McDonald's. One of my favorite things to hear every now and then, I would pick up the phone at my house, and I wouldn't even hear a hello. I would just hear that familiar voice saying, "You pouring?" Meaning, "Do you have a pot of coffee on?" Nell asking, and could I come over and we'll chat around the kitchen table, sometimes with some Sister Schubert rolls heated up in the bargain. That was really one of my favorite ways to spend time with her, as well as, I would say, from girlhood. She was an explorer. When she got a bike as a 10-year-old, as Alice said, she rode off after that, and we didn't see much of her for a while. And I think all her life was an explorer, both of the places where she lived, in terms of spending a lot of time just exploring the streets on foot or by bicycle or by Buick when I knew her, and getting to know history and stories. And she did some traveling, certainly, over the years. So in that sense, was most definitely out in the world.
Of course, the million-dollar question has always been, why not another novel? Why has this incredibly talented writer, whose only novel up until the release of Ghost at a Watchman on Tuesday, To Kill a Mockingbird, sold 40 million copies, why did she not write after that?
Well, I talked to her sister Alice, who's been so involved in her affairs over the years, about that early on. And one of the things Alice said was, how would you feel if you started at the pinnacle? Would you feel you were competing with yourself? I'm paraphrasing there, but I think she had seen the impact of that enormous popularity with To Kill a Mockingbird right from the start, overwhelming, I would say. And of course, Nell Harper Lee over the years had cited both not wanting to go through all that publicity again as a reason, and she also would sometimes say, I said what I have to say in Mockingbird, and I'm not going to say it again. So I think all of those are reasons why people were so surprised then when news of Watchmen hit the headlines.
There have been those who have said that if her sister Alice was still alive, that this book may not have been released.
There have been a lot of questions about the circumstances under which all of this has happened, and to my way of thinking, with good reason. I mean, there have been some concerns going back well before that news about the difference in how some of Nell Harper's affairs were being handled, and some of the good friends who were no longer able to visit her at the assisted living center where she is, a number of things. It's been interesting, as I've talked to readers at different libraries and bookstores. I just finished a tour for the paperback of my book, and so many of them, I think, have mixed feelings about this, really a sense of savoring the prospect of knowing more about Scout and Atticus and what their lives would be like 20 years down the road, and just knowing that there's more Harper Lee prose to enjoy, but at the same time, some unease about the circumstances and the questions that have arisen. And I would agree with both of those things.
It absolutely, because there seems this is really one of the biggest publishing events in a long, long time, and the pre-orders are through the roof, and people are anxiously awaiting. And I will admit, I will be head of the line to read the book. The question, though, is this something that Harper Lee wanted us to read? It was a story that was written before To Kill a Mockingbird. And while it does incorporate, from what we're told, the characters of To Kill a Mockingbird, it takes place before. And you just wonder, well, is this something that the author really wanted us to see? And if she did, why wasn't it released a whole lot sooner?
Yeah, now you probably saw there was a New York Times long investigative piece just recently indicating that the official narrative of how the manuscript was discovered in 2014 didn't match the account of someone from Sotheby's who went to appraise some things in Monroeville back in 2011 and was aware then of this manuscript, which some people have called a separate novel, and others have said is more of a first draft of Mockingbird. So even more questions, I would say, now about the circumstances. I knew Alice Lee to be somebody who was certainly on top of, the things in her safekeeping and in consultation with Nell always about the many things that came their way over the years. That was one of the things they both remarked on from the beginning, was just the volume of requests and proposals and all kinds of things that came their way over the years. Their small post office box, or their post office box, I should say, in the small post office right there on the town square in Monroeville. I mean, just had this steady stream of correspondence over the years. Some from readers, some from people proposing different things. It was a lot to keep up with. And I can remember Nell Harper saying early on, in her understated way in this case, 40 years of this gets to be a bit much. and, of course, now it's been more than 50. They talked about both the appreciation they had for what Mockingbird still meant to so many people. I don't think that diminished, but also the real hardship that was involved over the years in coping with that level of interest. They live quite simply. I think people would be surprised. I believe both places. Certainly their home in Monroeville was quite simple. They didn't care much about material possessions other than the books that were friends that crowded that house always. They were always fighting a rising tide of books at that home, but lived quite simply. I'd say their home was probably maybe the most modest of that of their circle of friends that I got to know there in Monroeville.
Gossett, a Watchman, is, she will not be, Harper Lee has not, the publisher says she will not be doing any events for the book. She is 89. The publisher says that her health she's doing well. And she has been a participant in the publication process. These, again, are words from the publisher, and yet there doesn't seem to be any that she will have any active promotion, that she will be doing any active promotion for the book, which brings me to the question of when did your relationship start to wind down?
She was so wonderful with me always. Then when my book, I guess it was in 2010, a person who now is handling many of her affairs, who worked in the law office with Alice Lee, got involved. And then in 2011, typed up a statement, according to Alice, that she had Nell Harper sign, saying that she hadn't willingly participated in the book. And, of course, she had been just so generous with her time and her insights over the years, as had Alice. Alice, fortunately, was still practicing law at that point, and issued a statement saying that the other had gone out without her knowledge and didn't represent her feelings or those of her sisters. And in fact, also wrote a letter that since has been made public where she said, imagine my shock as she learned what had happened, and said then that Nell Harper would sign anything put in front of her by someone in whom she had confidence, and now she had no memory of the incident. So I think that was something going back some years now that raised questions about Nell's condition and how things were being handled. It's been painful in a way to see some of the hardships both of them faced in their later years. Alice Lee was in a nursing home for her last few years. Mm. And one of the things that's been such a pleasure with talking about the book is to go back to that time as they lived it for so many years, and the last few years when I knew them, when they were both living at home and able to be out and exploring, like I said, and very much independent and living a different life than what is the was the case now. And of course, Alice Lee died in November. For many years, they had certain routines, and I was fortunate to be able to join them in many of them. That they had been that way for so many years, it just seemed like it would always be that way. And yet, of course, nothing stays the same forever, and it's a different situation now for sure.
They obviously knew you were a journalist. Is it your stance here that she was aware, Harper Lee was aware, that you would write about or could write about the times that you spend together?
Oh, yes. In fact, she would crook her index finger at me. She had this way when she was making a point of doing that, and would say at times, now, you know, you put that in there, meaning include that, or don't, or that's off the record. And, of course, I would make a note when something was. She had said at one point, you know, I know what you can call your book. I'm paraphrasing, but she said, having their say, which, and she said at the time, titles aren't copyrightable, and I think referring to the having their say as the title of a book about two African-American sisters, also in their later years, sharing a lot of their stories. So, they were marvelous that way, and generous in how much they were willing to share with me, more than I thought might be the case. I think partly when I was living there, there were two movies about Truman Capote that were in the works.
Right.
You may have seen one or both.
Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yes, exactly, about the time she spent right after Mockingbird was at the publisher, but before it was out, actually, when she traveled to Kansas with her old childhood playmate, Capote, to help him research what became his nonfiction book, In Cold Blood, about farmhouse murders there in Kansas. And there was also the first major biography of her was in the works. And there was, I think, apprehension, certainly, for her about, she didn't know for sure what any of those things would look like when they came out. She would get reports now and then about something that it sounded like would be included in one or the other, and would sometimes say, you know, this is going to get muddled. I want you to get this straight. And so I think that was maybe impetus as well. They were both such marvelous storytellers. I mean, I one of the things I wanted to convey in the book was just the fun of being around the kitchen table with Nell, or in the car with Alice and Nell, and hearing about, like, the characters that they remembered from old Monroeville, all these various characters that I think if you read To Kill a Mockingbird, you know, you have that sense of characters around town that everyone was aware of and sort of flourished in their own offbeat ways, a lot of that.
Maria Mills is a former reporter and feature writer for the Chicago Tribune. Her book is The Mockingbird Next Door, A Life with Harper Lee. It is published by Penguin. Maria, thank you very much for sharing with us this morning. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you.
A great pleasure. Thank you. Again, the title of the book, The Mockingbird Next Door, Life with Harper Lee. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.